Welcome to Network, a production of Evangelism Ministries of the Georgia Baptist Convention. And now your host, Joel Sutherland.
Welcome to Network, a program dedicated to helping pastors and churches cast the net of the gospel. I'm your host, Joel Sutherland. Today we're joined by Braxton Hunter, who's an evangelist, and we're talking about giving an invitation. Listen in as Braxton and I talk about how to give a good invitation.
All right, I'm joined today by Braxton Hunter. Braxton is the former president of the Conference of Southern Baptist Evangelists. He also has the distinction of being the youngest president the Conference of Southern Baptist Evangelists have ever had. He is also an evangelist traveling up and down our country preaching the gospel, and he is the executive vice president of Trinity Seminary, and he teaches apologetics there at Trinity. Braxton, welcome to the show today.
Hey, Joel. I'm glad to be on with you.
Just so the audience knows, I've personally had Braxton in my church. He's also preached at our state evangelism conferences, and he does a great job. Not only is he a great preacher, he does a tremendous job with the invitation. And since our theme this month is on the invitation or the altar call, or whatever word you want to use for it, I want to talk to Braxton about some very specific things that have to do with the invitation. Now, Braxton, it goes without saying, I guess, as an evangelist, but just so we can talk about it for a moment, you're a firm believer in having invitations in church services, correct?
Absolutely. I'll tell you, Joel, I think that one of the most important things I took away from my bachelor's seminary experience was that one of my professors told me, he said, look, anytime you preach, you ought to be asking people to do something. There ought to be something that is your goal, that you're aiming for, a change you want them to make in their life, a piece of data that you want them to accept as true, or something in their life they need to get rid of. And so when it comes to a gospel invitation, well, really in any invitation, we are preaching the entire time with the goal of seeing something happen in their lives. And I think the invitation is one of the most obvious ways of recognizing that. For them to recognize it and for the church to see that is a moment in which they can come and confess to the church or confess to a pastor and make a public decision. And I think that that also enables them to look back in times of doubt or in times of temptation and say, you know what, I remember that monumental moment in my life where I took a step of faith and put the stake in the ground and said, here is where things are going to change for me. And so I think that the invitation is vitally important, and it has served me well at using it in my ministry, both when I was a pastor and in evangelism. And so we probably are talking a little bit more about the gospel invitation or an evangelistic style of invitation here, but I think that the altar call or this sort of invitation to come and make a decision like this is vital in both evangelistic and in pastoral messages.
Sure. So really what you're saying is, Braxton, it's almost a shame for a preacher to work on a sermon all week long or for however long he works on it, that where he's calling for a decision, it'd be silly not to give the people an opportunity to make the decision.
Right. And you know, Joel, there's a problem here where a lot of churches are getting away from the invitation style. And I understand that. I understand the reasons behind that. You know, I'll say what probably you wouldn't expect an evangelist to say, but I think that there is a positive byproduct of some of our more contemporary churches which have gone for a more non-confrontational approach. We live in a culture that is very non-confrontational. You don't know who your neighbors are. You don't want to talk to anybody, you know, and they don't want to talk to you either. That's why we have answering machines that are automated to talk so nobody has to talk to you. And unfortunately, that's not a good thing probably, but these churches have met that niche. However, I think that there needs to be at least the confrontational, although that's probably a demonized word, moment where someone does have the opportunity to make a public confession or stand before a group of people or at least walk forward. And if we try to remove that, I think that we're treating the Christian experience as though it's less real in a certain sense than other aspects of life. There are always confrontational moments. In marriage, there's the proposal. For parents, there's changing diapers. Wow. You know, when you go to the doctor, there's that moment where someone may have to, for all the beautiful art and the Muzak that's playing and everything else, there's that moment where a doctor may need to say that you need to have triple bypass surgery. We know that because those things are real. And if Christianity is real and true, there needs to be a moment where, even though it may be difficult, someone says, I'm going to take a step of faith and move forward in this way.
Oh, that's good. So really, we do live in an age where we don't like to be uncomfortable. We don't like to be confronted. But the fact is, apart from church world, we're confronted all the time, every day of our lives. I mean, not every day, but regularly. So it doesn't. There's nothing wrong with having that same confrontation in a church where you're really, Braxton, we're confronting them with life or death situations. This is not just, you know, come forward and make your life all it can be. This is eternity hangs in the balance when we do it. So that lends even more importance to it when you think of it in those terms.
Right, and I would add to that, Joel, I was just preaching in Nashville, Tennessee for an 87-year-old pastor, and he said something along these lines that I thought was so helpful. He said, you know, I'm glad that on the day of Pentecost, that when Peter preached and we had thousands saved, that he didn't say to them, you know, there's a nice table in the other building that you can go to if you want to hear how to accept Christ.
You've been listening to my interview with Braxton Hunter. In just a moment, I'll be joined by Mark Merritt. We'll continue to talk about the invitation here on Network.
You never know when your life will be shaken. Last year, I lost
my job. Everything fell apart. All my life,
I depended on my money and success. I had it all, but I felt
so alone when my husband died.
I've always relied on myself. Then somebody showed me
hope that could transform my life.
I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a
personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
And I was able to find it here.
Findithere.com.
Welcome back to Network. I'm your host, Joel Sutherland, and I'm joined by Mark Merritt of Evangelism Ministries. Mark, thank you for being in the studio today.
Always a pleasure, Joel. Thanks for having me.
We just heard from Braxton Hunter, who's an evangelist, a good evangelist that you might want to get in your church. And he's talking about the invitation. And Mark, he is a firm believer in the invitation. And I think we ought to just stop here for a moment and just affirm to our audience that we in Evangelism Ministries are firm believers in giving some sort of an invitation, really, after every sermon.
Absolutely. And I'll just quote the great Jerry Vines in his book, Power in the Pulpit. One section he talks about the invitation, and he says emphatically, and I quote, you ought to give people some immediate way to act.
Sure, sure. And I love what Braxton said about we ought to be preaching, asking people to do something. And
yes.
I think that fits in with what we are and what we do as preachers. Wayne McDill at Southeastern Seminary in his book, 12 Essential Skills of Expository Preaching, says that every sermon ought to call for a faith response, that,
right.
that everything is, even if you have sin in your life, well, that sin is there because of a lack of faith, because you trust in yourself more than you trust in God's plan. It's a lack of faith. And so if we're calling for that faith decision or we're asking people to do something at the end, I said it in the podcast with Braxton, but it's true, isn't it, that why study hours and hours and hours for a sermon and just leave it lying on the table without asking people to respond?
Absolutely. And when we see the preachers in the New Testament, we see that example and that pattern over and over again of God's men heralding forth a message and then calling for a response to that which has been preached.
Yeah, and one of the things, Mark, that we, you know, maybe we're not really good at sometimes is we know how to give the invitation after a sermon, but as far as evangelism goes, invitations are good to give after events or any time the gospel has been shared.
There's nothing wrong, and it's even urgent to give an invitation after those things, right?
Absolutely. Because again, the gospel is being presented. And John R.W. Stott said in his book, Biblical Preaching, that giving an invitation is an unspeakable honor that he confers upon his ambassadors. So he's making the point that not only is it an honor for us, but it's our duty and it's an expectation of us that we give people an opportunity to respond to the salvation message of Jesus Christ.
Sure. And it feels like maybe, and hope no one's offended by this, if you're not giving an invitation, you're just giving a book report.
Well, it can be that. And I know there's the instances where people say, you know, go home and think about it and come back next Sunday and we'll talk more about it. But the best I remember, that happened to a man by the name of D.L. Moody once, and it didn't turn out well.
No. And if you've never read that story of D.L. Moody, Pastor, grab a biography. But he did not give the invitation. And before the people could come back the next night, Chicago burned.
Right.
And he never had that crowd assembled again. He never got to call them for an invitation. I read that early on in ministry and said, okay, give an invitation. You don't know.
And one other thing he never did again, he never failed to give an invitation.
Give an invitation. That's right. That's right. And each audience that you have captive at that moment is unique. It'll never be repeated. Even if you assemble the exact same people in the building again, the emotions are different, the situations are different. That moment is that moment, and it begs that we call for a decision on the part of the listeners.
Absolutely. And I think all of us, Joel, have seen the invitation abused. We've seen manipulation in the invitation, and maybe that just turned some people off and they decided, I'm not going to manipulate people. And I'm not going to be that kind of a guy. I'm just going to preach the gospel and let the chips fall where they may. But just because some people are doing it wrong doesn't mean that we need to neglect it and not do it at all.
Sure. And he used a word in there, Mark, that none of us like, or most of us don't like. Maybe if you're Donald Trump, you don't mind it. But it was the word confrontation.
Mm-hmm.
We're just not a society, or even pastors and preachers. We're just not. We avoid confrontation at all cost, and at the moment when you've preached your sermon and you've poured out your soul, it's really kind of a moment of weakness in the heart of the pastor as he's emptied himself spiritually and emotionally and oftentimes physically in the pulpit, and the last thing we can want to do sometimes is muster the energy now to confront hundreds of people to make a decision. But it's just that important that we do have to muster the energy, and we do have to use his word, confront people at that moment.
Well, I take the example of Jesus with the woman at the well. It would have been very easy because he understood, he knew how difficult her life had been, all of the bad choices that she had made, and probably she was living with a lot of shame and a lot of regret and a lot of fear and uncertainty. It would have been easy for Jesus to have just spoken to her about the living water and moved on. But he didn't. He actually dealt with her sin. He dealt with the fact that her sin had separated her from God. But he made the comment there in John chapter 4, around verse 22, that basically he said, ma'am, you don't know what you worship. And
right.
He was confronting her with her sin. I'm certain, Joel, it made her uncomfortable. But in the end, she turned to Christ. And through her testimony, many other Samaritans were won to faith in Christ. So yes, it's a very necessary part of presenting the gospel.
Right. And nothing is as uncomfortable as an unsaved sinner meeting God on Judgment Day.
Absolutely. I would think that's the epitome of an uncomfortable situation.
Sure. And for an unbeliever to have sin in his life that we never gave him the opportunity or her the opportunity to deal with, or shortcomings. So confrontation is coming in this life or in the next. I think our people would be well served if we just went ahead and did it in this life.
Absolutely. And to play off what we've already been talking about, those that have tried to manipulate people, make them uncomfortable or make them doubt or whatever, that's one extreme end of abusing the invitation. The other extreme end of that would be to not issue an invitation at all, or to enter into the invitation period unprepared. Let me quote you a sentence by Professor Dr. Mark Talbert of the New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary in the book Mobilizing a Great Commission Church for Harvest. He wrote one chapter, and he said, to extend an invitation in a casual, unprepared, and careless manner is another type of abusing the invitation. So again, when we fail to confront people because we don't want to be the bad guy, we don't want to be the guy that's manipulating, so we go to the other extreme by not confronting people with their sin, not confronting people with the exclusive message of salvation by Jesus Christ alone, and that sin separates us from God, and you must be born again, and all of those confrontational elements of the gospel. If we enter into the invitation period unprepared or in a careless or in a casual manner, Dr. Talbert says, we are abusing the invitation.
Well, that's good. So let's meet in the middle. Let's not manipulate. Let's not be casual. Let's give a good quality Spirit-filled invitation. Mm-hmm. And over the next several podcasts, we're going to talk about how to do that. Thank you, Mark. What a great note to end on today. You've been listening to Network today as we've been talking about the invitation. If you want to contact us or find out more information about the invitation or any evangelism resources, you can go to our equipping site, www.evangelismga.com. And there's a host of resources for you and all kinds of ways to contact us. We'd love for you to connect with us there on that website. Again, I'm your host, Joel Sutherland. Thank you for listening in to Network today.
You've been listening to Network, a program dedicated to challenging believers to cast the net of the gospel. Connect with us at evangelismga.com. Network is a production of the Evangelism Ministries of the Georgia Baptist Convention.